We all appreciate the honesty of a child's prayer. If you ever look at the Sunday school prayer list, you'll see some very unusual prayer requests. Maybe I shouldn't say unusual, but a lot of prayer for our dogs and cats. And those of us who have had pets growing up, dogs and cats are special. And I guess we can pray for them, amen? Pray about everything. But anyway, we appreciate the honesty of a child's prayer. And prayers like, "Dear God, would you make me a little brother? I want someone to boss around." "Dear God, please make my parents understand that if I don't eat salad, I do better in school." "Dear God, I hope my dog is with you in heaven. Please take care of him. Sorry if he chews on your sandals." Many times children do pray big prayers because they have faith. They really do have faith that God will answer. The problem with us as we grow older is we get too sophisticated. Our faith gets mingled with our rationale and our wisdom, our thinking, and consequently we lose the ability to truly pray in faith. Childlike faith. Children truly believe God can and will answer. Oh, that we too have this childlike faith. Now, anything that is good and right, God can do through his infinite power and authority, which includes prayer, which further includes answering the big prayers as well as the small prayers. The significant prayers, if we could put it that way, or the insignificant prayers. We don't ever have to think that the creator of the heavens and the earth, the sustainer of all things, is not able to answer any and every prayer that we offer. For not only has God the power to give mighty answers to prayer, but he desires to do so. He asks us to come boldly to his throne of grace. I think of Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We never hear from God, "I can't afford that." We never hear from God that that's not in the budget, or that's too much to ask, or that's a prayer request too hard to answer. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. I think it's noteworthy that of all the sins mentioned in connection with prayer, praying to be seen of men, asking for something to consume it upon our own lusts, having an unforgiving heart, having a heart of unbelief, having a wrong home, relationship. Not once does the Bible hint that any man ever asked too much from God. In fact, what I see in Scripture is the statement, "Ye have not because ye ask not." Ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. Now, I truly believe one of the greatest sins regarding prayer is that we do not ask for enough. I wonder sometimes if we even pray. I mean, even truly pray. You know, sometimes the Lord has to put us in situations where the only hope we have is him. The only hope we have. God, if this need is going to be met, it's you that must meet this need. If this heart has to be changed, it's only you who can change this heart. Brother, that gets your attention. And that causes you to realize, I need to pray. What a privilege it is to pray. And yet I wonder sometimes if we even take time to truly pray. I'm not talking about, Lord, I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. If you're 3 years old, you can pray that prayer, but you're not three. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to learn the power of prayer. We do not give God an opportunity to prove his love and his power, his bigness. And perhaps it is because we do not believe God is able. You know, if you don't believe God is able, why bother? Why bother to pray? But if you believe God is able, you will what? Pray. God is able, as Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. I think that pretty much covers everything. Amen? Remember, nothing is impossible when we put our trust in God. Well, basically, we have two points in our outline this morning. And the first point is scriptural references on prayer. This is no technical message, but it's a message that I need. To begin this morning, let's first look at some scripture that declare God's willingness and desire to answer not only the small, but the big prayers. The big prayers. And the initial verse that I want us to look at is Psalm 81:10, which states, and this is God speaking, I am the Lord thy God. I am thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. That was no small task. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. God just didn't say just open your mouth. He said open your mouth wide, that I will fill it. God is seemingly saying, do you need a really big God to do something extraordinary for you? I am that God, and I have the credentials to prove I am that God. For remember the 10 plagues I sent to Egypt. Remember, Israel, your miraculous exodus, during which time you spoiled the Egyptians. Remember your deliverance at the Red Sea. Remember you actually walked on dry ground through the midst of the Red Sea. What a miracle. After which I drowned Pharaoh and the entire Egyptian army. Remember the water that came out of the rock that satisfied your thirst. Remember the manna from heaven that daily nourished you. Remember the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that guided you during your wilderness wanderings. Remember the miraculous crossing of the Jordan. Remember the walls of Jericho and how they came tumbling down. And then the subsequent victories I gave you over the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amalekites, and all the other ites. Remember, I am that God. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. I am willing, and I am able, and I am desirous to fill it. But what do you have to do? You have to open your mouth. You have to open your mouth wide. I think of George Mueller. Psalm 81:10 was one of his favorite verses, and how God honored his faith and the bigness of Almighty God. He asked and received, and then dispersed over $7 million. And we're talking about years and years and years ago. And he did so for the Lord's work without ever asking for one dime. It was said of George Mueller that God's power and might were so real to him that he came to the point where he could ask the Lord for $1 million with as much assurance of an answer as he could for $5. I say how we need to be such a people who say, Lord, I will open my mouth wide, for I know that you will fill it. Jeremiah 32, with the Chaldeans surrounding the city of Jerusalem, we hear Jeremiah crying, verse 17, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. And then in verses 26 and 27 of that chapter, we find God's answer. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord thy God, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Now, God did allow Jerusalem, as you know, to fall into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. But it was because of the unbelief and sin of the people, not because God was not able and not willing to deliver his people, even in this terrible extremity. But then in the next chapter, the Lord consoled Jeremiah with these words, Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I believe that God has for each of us these great and mighty blessings as well. And he will give them if we will simply ask him to do so. I think of the words of our Lord to his disciples after they were unable to cast out the demon from the lunatic boy because of their unbelief. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing. And then in the parallel passage in Mark chapter 9, we read in verse 23, Jesus said unto the father, the boy, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. I think it is interesting here in this Mark passage that the Father said unto Christ, If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. He was asking for compassion. But our Lord, in response, answered, There is no if about my power or about my compassion. All things are possible to him that believeth. And I ask, how great is your faith? Do you believe? And then I think of that wonderful promise in Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. We quoted it earlier. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church. By Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Is Paul telling us here about God's enablement? Not only is God able, he is abundantly able. And not only is he abundantly able, he is exceeding abundantly able to do above all that we could ever ask or think. That's a powerful God. And all this potential is guaranteed by the power, the infinite, omnipotent power of God's Spirit who indwells us as he works through us. Scriptural examples of the power of prayer and God's admonition, our Lord's admonition to pray. Call unto me, God says, and I will answer thee. I'm just being very candid. Have you even taken time to truly pray this morning? Yeah. Amen. But we get up and, oh, I got to get to church. And, you know, they start at 9 at West Side for Sunday school. That's just too early. But I guess I got to go. What a sorry attitude. Amen. Amen. 1 hour. I'll just give the Lord 1 hour. He gives us 24 hours every day. Every breath we breathe is a gift from him. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, let's believe that it pays to pray. Let's take time to pray. If you don't have time for anything else, it's more important that you pray than you even have breakfast, amen? I know that sounds trite, but call unto me, God says, and I will answer thee. and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let me put it this way. If you aren't praying, I hope God puts you in a position where you have to begin to pray. I know he's put me in that position. You know, we get so lackadaisical. We get so careless. We get so familiar with our Christianity that it loses its reality, its life. And we just go through the motions. And God is not real to us. Ladies and gentlemen, God is real to children. That's why they ask him to take care of their puppy dog in heaven. God is real. Is God real to you? I can promise you, if God is real, you will pray. And you will begin to say, Lord, I'm going to bring you every burden on my heart. The purpose of big prayers, our second point. Perhaps you're asking, well, why should we pray big prayers? What's the purpose? Is it such praying being a little presumptuous? Isn't such praying being somewhat self-consumed? Isn't such praying being greedy? Let's say praying for the big things does three things. Number one, such praying gives God a chance to show his mighty power and glory. Such praying gives God a chance to show his mighty power and glory. It gives us a chance to witness who he truly is, his name. And isn't it a good thing for God's might and glory to be seen? You know, we live in a world where I don't think God is always seen through believers' lives. And I mean, we claim to be a witness, we claim to be a testimony, but do people around you see God at work in your life? Do they see God real to you? Do they see God answering your prayers? The purpose of big praying is so that people can, not only that you can be blessed, but that people around you can say, there is a God. I see him in so-and-so's life. You know, he prays and she prays and they get their answer from God. He must be real. When was the last time someone came to you and said, you know, God must be real to you because when you pray, you get answer. God answers your prayer. What a testimony of the reality of God. God isn't just some little person that we pray to on a Sunday morning. If we think about it, He is with us. Every moment of the day, he is the God of the universe, and we want to lift and exalt his name before the world around us. In Nazareth, the Lord Jesus could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. And consequently, God's might was not revealed and his name was not glorified. And this is the place where Jesus grew up. They had Jesus with them. And yet, how faithless they were, and how Christ had to remove the blessings of seeing God at work in their lives. I think, however, of Elijah, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, Elijah on Mount Carmel. When the prophet called down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice, a mighty big prayer, amen? 1 Kings chapter 18 tells us that the people fell on their faces and cried, "The Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God!" Folks, we need the idolaters of today to acknowledge that the Lord he is God. Their gods do not answer by fire, but our God does. Second, big praying prospers God's work. And if anything needs to prosper, it is the work of the Lord. In fact, the most important work in all the world is the work of the Lord. And yet how often, and I say far too often, the work of God languishes because of small praying. Missionaries either cannot go to the field, or if they do go, it takes forever for them to raise their support. Churches dwindle or die rather than grow and thrive. Revival efforts, revival meetings fail. Evangelists simply come and go. They get their check and they're gone. And after a week or so, it seems like they never even darkened our door. In fact, if we're honest with our hearts, we're probably glad the meetings are over, because we had to go to church every night. Oh, my word. How can God ask me to go to church every single night for 5 nights? I mean, that's just asking too much. No wonder our evangelistic meetings fail. There's no change of our hearts. But in great measure, the problem is we fail to mightily pray for God's Spirit to manifest His convicting, saving, transforming power. I truly believe we have not because we ask not. And I'm trying to be kind, but I'm trying to be honest here. And if only there could come a wave of prevailing, mighty prayer, pleading with God and trusting Him. Trusting Him for great things, I believe we would have a mighty revival. Mrs. Walters, bless her heart, she always talks about this nation needs a revival. And I think, yeah, it's going to have a revival. Yeah, sure. But you know what? We have not because we ask not. When was the last time you prayed that God would revive your soul? You know, revival is God reviving you. Revival is God getting you to the point where you cry out to Him saying, God, I can't make it in life without You. I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. I need Thee. We have not because we ask not. I believe we would have a mighty revival and the work of God would prevail and prosper if we truly got serious before God. How such an evidence of His work of grace would glorify God, and people would again have to say, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, You are God. And then one more. Big prayers provide Christians with what they need and how truly needy we really are. Again, as God's people, we have not because we ask not, which means the strength, the grace, the wisdom, the hope, the peace, the victory, the provision we legitimately need, we often fail to receive and enjoy. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Again, I say it, and I say it again and again, we have not because we ask not. John Rice tells the story of a man who told his servant, he said, Sam, if you will stay with me and if you will take care of me, I'll see to it that you are greatly taken care of even after I am gone. Well, Sam agreed to that. Well, this was years and years ago. $5,000 was deposited in the bank under Sam's name when his boss died. But this dear man continued to live the life of a poor man long after his master was gone. Well, one day an old friend of the family went to Sam and said, Sam, why do you live in this little shack and hobble about in rags when you have $5,000 in the bank just waiting for you to use and enjoy? With this persuasion, the old man went to the bank and nervously inquired of the money he was supposed to have. After being assured that the money was there, the man requested if he could withdraw some of his estate to purchase a meal. Well, how much do you want? Asked the teller. Sam replied, 50 cents. Sam took his 50 cents and shuffled away to buy a meal, but continued to live in his poor little shack, wearing his worn-out rags while leaving $4,999.50 untouched in the bank. Ladies and gentlemen, how much like Sam are we? Our Heavenly Father tells us the gold and the silver and the cattle on 1,000 hills are all mine. And since we are his children by the blood of Christ, we are blood bought. We are legit, ladies and gentlemen. All those treasures are ours as well, which means we can ask to supply all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. After all, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. But yet too often we live in physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual poverty. And the reason we have not, because we don't even bother to ask. Our mouths are never full because we never open them wide enough. And consequently, number one, we don't receive from God's hand what we need. Number two, God's work does not prosper. And number three, God is not glorified. His might and power are not seen. And at best, the folks around us think we serve a puny and powerless God. Why should they want to hear about our God when he doesn't answer your prayers? Because you don't even bother to ask. You know, with Baseball Chapel, I want those players, and so many of them are just as heathen as you can imagine. But I want them to see in Julio Mojica and Robert Lane that God is real and that Jesus loves us and he gives his life, abundant life, to us. I want them to see that abundant life that comes because of Jesus' grace and mercy. And I want them to say, wow, that's life. That's the real thing. I want what Robert have. I want people around me every day to know God is the God, the my God, and he's the God of the universe. We have a great God. There's nothing too hard for him. His resources are limitless, and he loves us, and because he loves us, he desires to care for us in a mighty big way. I think of Christ's words. We read them earlier. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? And in Luke's account, he says, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. What is that saying? God not only wants us to give good things, he wants to give us himself. He wants to give us himself. Wow, that's love. God wants our lives to be filled with the wonders of his grace and mercy. And thus he says, let's say it together. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Open thy mouth wide. God says, I will fill it. Oh, might we be a people who truly know the power of prayer, who pray not only for small things of life, but for the big things as well. God can, and God will, and God does answer prayer. And God's people said, amen.